How you doing, everybody? God bless you. I'd like to talk about a topic. I've been seeing it all over the internet. I guess there's a revival going on in West Virginia. And all I could go by is the YouTube videos, and they're 99% music and baptisms. Music and baptisms. That's all I'm seeing of the revival. I gotta believe there's more than that. So I'm not just trying to put it in a narrow window of that. However, let's give you a little testimony. Ever since the beginning of my walk, and everybody's walk is different, so I reaffirm my walk. I'm going to be judged for me. You're going to be judged for you. But rituals, traditions, customs, my spiritual ears go up for myself. For myself, I've been alerted to it. In baptisms, to a degree, I've known people over my last close to 40 years in the walk. Every church they get in, they got to get baptized. They can't even be a member. You can't be a member unless you're baptized. Which I guess once you get baptized, now I'm a member, and now you're tunnel visioned in and. What could I say? However, I could go to the Word. I could go to the Word. And I'm not even going to go to the Word to prove anything. I just want to talk about baptisms because I'm talking to fellow brethren, more than likely. And within the church realm, baptisms are a hot topic. I mean, a whole denomination is named after the Baptists. So, obviously, it's a hot topic. It's big. And amongst the people that want to be baptized, now you got sprinkled, you get dunked, you got all this kind of stuff. So, as I said, I believe I was given somewhat of a gift of discernment with customs, traditions, rituals. Because they're so deceiving, because they make you feel part of a group. They make you feel good. I'm just talking about a group, and I might not necessarily be talking about you as an individual. I don't know your heart, but I'm just saying whether it be the Lions Club, the Masons, the Odd Fellows, there's handshakes, there's rituals, there's different degrees of studies. Every group has their rituals, customs, and religions, or customs and traditions. So let me just read a little bit here about baptisms. Let's go to Luke 3:16. I got it marked here. And as the people were in expectation, all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not. I mean, John was so amazing. He lived in the wilderness, camel skin coat, ate grasshoppers, but yet King Herod wanted to meet him. So obviously when he spoke, something exciting must have happened. John answered and said unto them, I indeed, this is John saying, I indeed, indeed means without question, baptize you with water, H2O. But one mightier than I. So he's saying this, there's coming one mightier than I. And then he emphasized it, the latchet. In other words, a sandal strap. Of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And I believe he's talking about fire here, whose fan, you know, like a fan for a fire, is in his hand. And he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into the garner, but the chaff he will burn with a fire unquenchable. So that's part of the baptism. The Lord fans you to burn off the flesh. That's part of the baptism. He's explaining what the fire baptism is. Jesus is coming with a fan in his hand. He's going to get a fire under you. He's going to burn your flesh nature out of you. Unquenchable. God is a consuming fire. What's the fire do? The fire refines, burns off the dross. The fires of life, the trials of life, Jesus Christ learned his obedience through the things that he suffered. I'll read it again. John answered it, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I think it's safe to assume he's making a distinction of his baptism and the one coming after him. And we'll find out later why he was baptizing. Okay. That was in Luke. Let's go to Matthew 3:11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. Second gospel, different author, same spirit. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And guess what? Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat unto the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Almost said the same thing, gang. And he's extinguished. He's taken away any doubt what the fire is. This is Jesus. This is a spiritual baptism. The one mightier than John. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I. Mightier. John wasn't pulling any punches. He had all kinds of fans with the water baptism, but he said, there's one coming after me with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Let's go to Mark 1. Seven and eight. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of skin about his loins. And he did eat locusts and wild honey and preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I. Third chapter, different author, same spirit. Cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. He's telling us there's one coming mightier than I, and he's putting himself so lowly, he says, I don't even deserve to take this man's sandals off. I indeed, he says indeed, baptize you with water, but he, the one coming, shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Two distinguishing baptisms. The one with Paul, or with John, who was water, the mightier one with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And when you look up the word baptisms, both John's baptism and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's the same Greek word. It means to be fully wet. Fully wet. In other words, the Spirit washes you. The baptism of the Holy Ghost comes on you and washes you. You become immersed, just like the bread. Certain denominations actually think that that wafer is Jesus. That wafer is not Jesus. The bread of life comes down from heaven. The men ate the wafers in the Old Testament and died. But there's one that came after. The bread from heaven. The communion from above. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. And we're told in John 16, what does the Holy Ghost do? Convinces you of your sin, shows you righteousness, shows you judgment and justice. He's a teacher, we're told in the Old Testament, that teaches you where to walk, how to behave. That's the Holy Ghost. Not a ritual, not a tradition. It actually lives inside of you. Let's go to the book of John. Chapter 1. A little more in depth. The apostles, or the Pharisees, asked John who he was. And they asked him and said to him, "Why baptize thou, if thou not be the Christ, nor Elijah, neither a prophet?" So this baptism must have been a Jewish tradition, because the Pharisees knew of it. And they asked him, "Is this Elijah? Is this the Christ? Are you a prophet?" But here goes John. John answered him, saying, "I baptize with water." He made the distinction again. But, there's always that but, "there standeth one among you whom you know not." So he's talking to the religious people now. He's saying, there's one amongst you. You don't even know this man. "He it is coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose." Here we go again. The fourth book, another different author, same spirit. Here we go again. "Whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John saw Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me comes a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me." This is Jesus. But John says here, "And I knew him not." I knew, but John didn't know who he was. "But that he should be made manifest to Israel." That he should be made manifest to Israel. "Therefore I come baptizing with water." His people didn't know who he was. So he was just baptizing everybody. "And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it landed on him." So he's baptizing everybody because he was told to baptize everybody. And John says, "And I knew him not." He didn't know who the Savior was going to be. "But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." He came forth from God. He became man. The Word of God. The Word was God, was with God. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Every chapter. Every chapter. John buckled down. He says, "Indeed, I come with water. But there's one mightier than I that's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And then three out of the four Gospels, he goes on to explain. What the fire is. I wasn't sure. I thought maybe it was in John. I don't believe it was. The fire was Jesus. The Word of God. That's who Jesus is. Burning off the flesh nature. Burning off the chaff. This is all spiritual, gang. I'm just warning you. Rituals, traditions, customs. And even Peter. Peter was caught up in them. After he received the Holy Ghost, Peter was still caught up. He was caught up in circumcision. He was only talking to the Jews. Paul had to get in his face. Peter was still caught up and only eating, I guess you could say, kosher foods. God had to give him a vision. This is spiritual, Peter. The circumcision is no longer of the flesh. It's of the heart. You no longer have to specifically do anything. Give me praise and you can eat anything. Same thing here with the baptism. When you get reborn, when you taste of God in your spirit, He washes you. In every definition in the New Testament of the word baptism means fully wet, even when it refers to the Spirit. So he's talking about a washing of the Holy Spirit, which we're told in Corinthians is the washing of the Word of God. You're cleansed. You're washed. Here comes the repentance. So gang, regardless of what it is, we're told, Jesus told the woman at the well, God seeks those to worship him in spirit and in truth, not in traditions, not in rituals, not in customs, not in works, but in spirit. It bypasses the flesh nature. Now, sure, it might manifest itself, but the fact of the matter is it's in your heart. You take on the mind of Christ, the fundamentals, forgiveness, love, putting up the shield of faith against all the fiery darts, greed and lust and hatred and grudges and one-upmanship, basically selfishness, all the basics, if I could say that, the things that all men go against. Beware, because the gate is narrow. Few are going to find it. The gate is narrow. Get that in your head. Let me get it in mind. This is a narrow gate. It's not a joke. I'm totally surrounded by lies, deceptions, curveballs, angel of light. That's how Satan comes. Get on your knees every day. Seek the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Let's go with the mightier one. As John said four times in four Gospels by the same Spirit. Let's go with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Let him wash your sins away. Let him give you a new heart. Let the circumcision not be of the flesh, but it be of the heart. Where your heart is changed. Your motives are changed. And you know now that you're a soldier in the army of Christ. Well, God bless you. Jesus is Lord. Fight the good fight of faith. Amen.